Welcome to Open Door, everybody. Why don't we stand as we begin singing and praising this morning? Put your hands together. Let's sing a little bit of Days of Elijah. We thank you for your mercy, your kindness, God. Thank you for your son that you seen down through time, God, and that we needed a savior. And I thank you, God, that you sent your son to shed his blood for us so we can call you father today, God. Lord, I thank you and praise you for that. Lord, I ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon our worship and upon the word this morning, God, that Larry has for us. God, speak mightily through your word to our hearts, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You all may be seated.
Good morning. And we are still asking for gifts for the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association Summer Legacy Offering. And today I want to tell you about the prayer ministry called LIFT. The LIFT team is currently led by Doris Holtz. Each Thursday, the LIFT team travels to one of the 22 churches in the association to pray for that church and its congregation. They cover the church in prayer. They pray for ministries, materials, needs, and individual people. If there is an urgent need, prayer is continuously offered until the prayer is answered. They also go to various communities and the stations of first responders in the Upper Ohio Valley to pray for the needs of those areas. The LIFT team receives money from the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association for materials. They also receive funds to host a yearly tea for the wives of the pastors of the association. By giving to the Summer Legacy Offering, you help support the prayer ministry of the LIFT team. Open Doors' goal for this offering is $2,000. If you would like to give today, please write Legacy on your envelope, which can be found in the back of the pew in front of you, or you may give by clicking the Add Donation link on the giving page of Open Doors' website. Please pray and give as the Lord directs you. Please pray for the Upper Ohio Valley Baptist Association and for the churches the association serves and for the LIFT ministry. And now we will watch a video. Thank you.
Looking at that up there, I'd say LIFT team, $500. That's all they asked for. And how many people here have seen, been touched by the LIFT team? Right? If you're a Sunday school teacher, I know you have been. And I know that I have been because they came to our church and they went to every spot. And they put a little thing on every music stand up here and they said, "We prayed for you guys." And these people come from all over the association to come here to pray for us. And I was just like, wow. That's really cool. I really like that. So y'all please stand. We continue with worship this morning. Worship this week is really kind of about what Larry's been preaching about. And it's not who's the moose, which Cynthia thought I said earlier, or dis a moose. And I was thinking about, you know, this guy coming to salvation, a former slave, not only a slave in life, but a slave to sin. Amen. And how he came to God. Yeah.
God, I'm begging, please again, I need you. Oh, I need you. Walking down this desert road, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. And I need you. Your forgiveness.
Where I've been, where I'm going, even every moment of where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it.
Times that you never, when you thought you were alone, you were never alone. Jesus was always walking with you. Amen. And thank God for his mercy.
Amen. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea with no bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Would wait as we constantly roam. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more.
Of kindness he's lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood beneath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
have so much to be thankful for because we have been forgiven of much. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. And, Father, we do thank you for your blessings. Lord, we know that life doesn't always fare. Life doesn't always go the way we think it should be. And, Lord, we have a couple of families in the church that is experiencing that at this very moment. Father, we pray your blessings upon them. Lord, as the psalm before this one said, there's blessings buried there in the broken pieces. Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them, to the Fisher family, to the Wanted family, Lord. You just pour yourself out to them and you would bring them a great comfort, a great blessing in the midst of the brokenness that's going on in their lives right now. But here's what I know, Lord, you overcame. You even overcame death. And that is where our hope is, that in that we have hope, that we have life. So, Lord, we just pray for your blessing to flow, for your forgiveness to flow, for your kindness, your goodness, gentleness, your patience would just flow ever so greatly, Lord, and that you will bring a peace that just will transcend all understanding. So, Lord, we as your church, we come and we lift you up and we praise you and we thank you for all that you've done, all you're going to do, because you are able, you are capable of all things. So, Lord, as always, as I begin to prepare to preach this message, Lord, if I'm going to say something that is not right, if I'm not the one that you have to preach this word today, silence my lips, Lord. Allow the one to speak for you that will bring glory and honor to your name, which I pray I do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You have your Bibles, which I pray you do. Say, I got them. There you go. Don't come to church without your Bible. I know we put it up on the wall and all that, but get used to carrying the Word of God, because I know everybody's looking at their phone right now is doing that, right? Right, honey? Yeah, right? Okay. So listen, man, I feel exposed. This is weird, right? So, but look, if you have your Bibles there, 1 Timothy, and I'm still on this series of forgiveness, and we'll finish that up next week. Remembering the debt is the title here. And as I've really gotten into this study on forgiveness, what I've learned is that there are so many aspects of this whole issue of forgiveness that we deal with each and every day that we often don't even consider, we don't even realize, but the truth of it is we are daily living them out in our personal lives, in our emotional, in our emotional state, our psychological state, and more importantly, in our spiritual state. It has emotional, psychological, and spiritual ramifications in our lives. And one of the things that we deal with, I deal with it, and you deal with it as well, is it happens to be the fact that we remember our sin. We remember our sin, and we struggle with that. We do. In fact, these sins come back, and we think about the things that we've done, right? And we begin to ask the question, God, why can't I not forget those things that you have forgiven me of? One of the things I've been telling you in the beginning of this series, the most difficult person to forgive is yourself, right? We get that. We got, God, why can I not forget these things that you have forgiven me of? Why do I constantly remember? Why is it constantly coming back? Or why are my past sins haunting me like this? Why can I not get beyond the fact, if you have forgiven me, shouldn't I be able to forget it? Well, the fact of the matter is, Paul never forgot his sin. Did you ever realize that? Paul never forgot his sin. Look at 1 Timothy with me, and just a page or two back from Philemon, right? Just in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. We will be in Philemon as well, but 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Listen to what Paul says. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly, This is where this is who I was formerly. Now watch this. He's going to he's going to list three very big sins in his life right here. Not all of his sins, but three of the biggest ones, but three major sins. He says, look, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, which some versions say violent man or arrogant man. You see, he remembered his sin. And you say, well, I remember my sin, and this just doesn't make sense. Because I think that if God forgave me, I wouldn't be haunted by my sin. Boy, don't we wish that was true, right? I thought he took away all that stuff. Well, he did. But listen, let me tell you something here. You may not forget your sins, but you can benefit from your sins. Let me say that again. You may not forget your sins, but you can benefit from your sins and the memory of your sins. The memory that they are forgiven, you can benefit from that. You've got to not let Satan hold you down with it, but you've got to let the Word of God pick you up with it. The memory that your sins are forgiven is a benefit to you. Listen, remembering them will help you to not do them again. Amen? That's one of the things in my life is I know all that I did and I'm ashamed of that. And so I don't, I remember them helps me not to do them again. Now think about that. I know that I'm forgiven and that helps me. I don't deserve it. I had a conversation with a young man just a couple days ago. And he was confessing some things to me, and he says, I don't think the Lord can forgive me. I says, absolutely the Lord can forgive you. He says, but it was bad. I says, I know. I says, but remember in him forgiving you and you accepting that forgiveness, it'll help you not to do those things again. That was the exact conversation. And that's what Paul was saying here. Paul says one of the benefits of remembering your past sin is that it drives you to a place of thanking God for your forgiveness. So here's the thing. Here's a point that the benefit of remembering our sin is one is number one is thankfulness. Now look at what he says here at verse 12, still in 1 Timothy. I'm giving you a little sermon before a sermon, right? Look what he says. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm thanking him. Paul says, I'm thanking him. I'm thanking him that he's forgiving me and that he called me into his service. So look, what's the second thing about this? He's thankful there. What's the second thing is that in remembering it, it destroys pride in a believer's life. Because when you remember your past sins, it has an impact on your pride. Has anyone here, and this is a loaded question, right? Has anyone here ever done something that you're not proud of? Right? That's what I said, right? Or something that you're ashamed of, right? Listen, unfortunately, I have. More times than I can speak. And I'm not proud of that, right? It brings my pride down, right? Because I know that I am not perfect. When people come to the church, oftentimes they want to ask about membership. And I'll say, listen, if you're looking for the perfect church, don't come to this one because I'm in it. I'm not perfect. And listen, I have things that I'm ashamed of in my life, things I'm not proud of. I have these things. So when we remember the sin in our lives, it really humbles us. At least it does me, right? Do you see what Paul says here? Paul said in verse 15 in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners of who I am chief. Now, this. Listen, be careful here. Paul's not bragging here. Paul is ashamed. He's being humble. He's not proud of everything that he has done here, right? He said, I'm the head of all sinners. I'm the chief of the sinners. I'm the first guy in line. I'm the biggest sinner that there ever was. Now, what does that do for your pride? When you look at yourself, what does that do for your pride? Not only that, look at the third thing is this. Remembering makes you an example. It makes you an example. Look at this in verse 16. He says, however, for this reason, I obtained mercy. Amen? 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 He says, however, for this reason, I obtained mercy that in me, the chief of sinners, right? That in me, First, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern, as an example, long-suffering patience, right? As a pattern, as an example to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. He says, look, I remember my sins, and it's good for this purpose, that God has forgiven me, and he wants to use me as an example to others that he will forgive them as well. How could I tell this young man that was talking to me the other night, how could I tell him that God would forgive him of all of his sins? Because I had faith and trust in knowing that God forgave me of all of mine. Some years ago, like probably 15 or so years, and I believe I've told you this story before, but I bumped into a guy that I knew from my early adult years, very early adult years, B.C., before Christ, all right? He had moved, but he had moved out of the area and had come back to visit some family, and I bumped into him down at Kroger's, and he said, what are you doing now? And I said, well, I'm the pastor up there at Open Door Baptist Church, and he literally, he laughed at me. He laughed at me, and he said, there's no way. He says, hey, there ain't no way you're the pastor of a church. He says, I know who you are. I know the things that you used to do. And he does, because he was with me most of the time. He honestly, and when I told him I was a pastor, he didn't believe me. He really did not believe me. He couldn't accept the fact that I was now a pastor of a church from whom he formerly knew. And I said, yeah, but it's true. Again, he said, there's no way, Larry. I remember all too well the things that you and I were into. He said, again, don't forget, Larry, I know who you are. And I said, no, you know who I was. I'm not that person anymore. That person you knew died, and I'm a new creation in Christ. How? Through forgiveness. Right? Through forgiveness, right? You see, this is exactly what Paul was saying here. He's saying, I am an example. That's what Paul's saying. I am an example for everyone who says, there goes Paul. Y'all, you remember him? Here he goes, that guy right there. You see him right there? He was the guy who held the coats for the guys who stoned Stephen. That guy right there. So Paul was essentially saying, you may not forget your sins, but you can benefit in the fact that God will use those things for his glory. Now that's an amen moment right there. God has that kind of mercy, that kind of grace, that kind of forgiveness for you in your life, that he can change your life, that there was a guy. God can take my past, my failures, and use it for his good. Just like Paul, he took him from the guy who persecuted Christians and stoned and done many other horrible things. Now God pulls him into the service of his kingdom work, and I understand. That's an amazing thought, how God can take those things and use them, right? Just in a little way, like I can look at this guy and say, I know that God can forgive you. You know, we struggle with our sin, but now listen, here's the real struggle, right? We struggle with forgetting what somebody has done to us. We hold on to those things. We pick them up and we carry them with us every day. We call them burdens. And you know, we weren't designed for that. That's why God tells us, cast your burdens up on me. Listen, we weren't designed to. Listen, forgetting what somebody has done for us is very difficult. We struggle with remembering, but we also struggle with forgetting. And in the failure to forget, we come to the place where we will not forgive them. We will not forgive others. And we will not forgive them because we say, I can't forgive you because I can't forget it. I can't get over it. It's too deep. It's too personal. It's all I think about. It consumes me. I can't get beyond it. I can't get past this. I just remember this. I dwell on it, and I can't forget it. So I cannot forgive it. I can't forgive it. Now let me ask you a question. Or let me maybe say this. I want to give you an assignment. I dwell on it. I can't forget it. I cannot forgive it. The assignment is, find that for me in Scripture, where forgiveness means you've got to forget. People say that about the verse where Jesus says, you know, he says, I will remember your sins no more. People will say, well, they says that he will forget them. Mm-mm. That's not what that means. He says, I'm not going to bring them up again. Right? But show me where forgiveness means you've got to forget. Do you understand how God created you? He created you with a memory. Some of us better than others. I'm jealous of some of you guys' memories. I really am. If I don't write it down, it don't happen. True that, I'm telling you. But he created you with a memory, and he created you with the ability to remember things. And those things that hurt us, that wound us deeply, are deeply ingrained into our thought patterns. They're inside of there, and they're rolling around. Listen, when you make a memory, that God so created your brain that you can make 600 memories in a second, I will challenge that. You will, it's what the study says. The study says you'll make 600 memories in a second. Now, that's an astonishing thought, right? That in a second, 600 memories. But that's how God created you. I was reading in the human brain consists of about 1 billion neurons. And each neuron had about 1,000 connections to other neurons, amounting to more than a trillion connections. And each neuron combines to help you retain many memories at a time. The brain's memory capacity is something close to around 2.5 petabytes, or a million gigabytes. And this article gave it a comparison in this. If your brain worked like a digital video recorder, 2.5 petabytes would be enough to hold 3 million hours of television shows. 3 million hours, that's a lot of gun smoke. Which means you would have to leave the TV running continuously for more than 300 years to use up all the storage. So, kids, be careful when you go home and tell your mom and dad that you can't learn. 300 years to use up all the storage. Now, that's a lot of memory capacity, folks. And that's the way God created you. That's the way God created me. And once a memory is formed, here's how it works. The more you think about something, the deeper it's embedded and the more pronounced it becomes. Let me say that again. The more you think about something, the deeper it is embedded and the more pronounced it becomes. Now take that and apply that to unforgiveness. Because we so often don't forgive what somebody's done to us, right? And because we hit that replay button over and over and over, we constantly hit that over and over and over, and every time we live back through it, every time we go back over what they did, we embellish it. And it deepens that, right? It deepens that thought. We embellish it. We make it worse in our own mind, right? And it makes that thought more pronounced in our memory. And we simply can't forget it because we think about it, and 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 we think about it. And it's almost like it becomes a part of our DNA. It's dwelling there. It's living there. Now here's the million-dollar question. What's the answer to that? Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the name Corrie Ten Boom. I'm sure many of you know that name, Corrie Ten Boom. And if not, you should read her story. You should go look it up. She was a phenomenal, unbelievable tool in the hand of God. Her father lived in Holland, and they were Dutch, and they were helping Jews escape the Nazis, but they were caught. They were captured. And when they were caught, they were loaded up on trains and sent to a concentration camp. And Corrie and her sister Betsy were sent off to Ravensbrück, which was the famous Nazi woman's concentration camp. And something happened to her there. They brought these women in, and they were male guards there, where they would strip them of their clothes and they would shave their heads and they would delouse them, and then they would cram them into these quarters. They would just smush them all into these quarters. And so many of these women, I'm not going to get into all that, but so many of these women were just horribly, horribly abused in that place. Now, Corey never talked about what it was. She wouldn't talk specifically about what it was, but she said this: she was hurt there. Anybody ever been hurt? And she said she prayed about it, and she asked the Lord to forgive that person who hurt her. And she said, "Lord, I want to forgive that person." But through several years, she could not sleep at night. And she would wake up in the night and she would remember what had happened, and she would go to the Lord and she would say, "Lord, Lord, I have forgiven this person as best as I can. I've forgiven this person, but I cannot forget." And every night it was the same thing over and over. She would wake up, and through the night all she could think about was the abuse that she had suffered and what she had gone through. So much so that she went to a pastor. She went to a Lutheran pastor there in Germany, and she asked him, she said, "What am I to do with this? What am I to do with this?" And she explained her situation to him, and he took her outside, and this is what he said. He said this. He says, "Do you see that bell tower right there, right over there?" He says, "You see that?" She said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, we ring that bell a number of times each day." And he said, "We will ring that bell and ring that bell and ring that bell and ring that bell so that when we let go of the rope, it is still going back and forth and it continues to ring. It goes back and forth until it will eventually begin to diminish. Until it winds down and eventually it slowly stops." He said, "That's what you've got to learn to do." Now listen to this. He said to her, and she quoted him, "If we've been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we mustn't be surprised if the old angry thoughts keep coming up for a while." He said, "Many of us are doing that. Just out of anger, just out of frustration, we continue to pull the bell of unforgiveness. And we continue to pull the bell of remembrance. They're just the ding-dongs," he said, "when you let it go. They are just the ding-dongs of the old bell slowing down until it's ding-dong, ding-dong, ding-dong." Corrie Ten Boom said that she discovered that when she stopped pulling that rope of that memory, that there were still several sleepless nights, but then they began to diminish. And the memories began to diminish, that they came less frequently and with less intensity. It began to wear to the point where it was not controlling her thought process nearly as much. And it all started with forgiveness. Now turn to Philemon chapter 1. That's the first sermon. Turn to Philemon chapter 1, the only chapter, verse 19 there, where Paul comes and he says this at the end of this epistle, that we as Christians must be willing to forgive, and in that we must be willing to rebuild broken relationships. And that's how Paul was going to end this letter that we've been looking at now for this 8 weeks, right? And so I will finish it next week. But we've been looking at this for 8 weeks now. How we must be willing to forgive and willing to rebuild broken relationships. So I want you to look at another aspect of this with me this morning. And that is this: the benefit of remembering reminds me of the enormous debt that we cannot pay. The benefit of remembering reminds me of the enormous debt that we cannot pay. Now, you've heard that expression before, right? That's nothing new. I owe a debt that I cannot pay. And out of that, we admit that we owe God a debt that we cannot pay. Amen? But listen, you owe other people a debt as well that you cannot pay. And that's exactly what Paul was saying right here when he comes to verse 19. Look, notice what he says there in verse 19. He says, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. Now, Paul didn't usually do this, but do you remember back in Galatians in verses in chapter 6, verse 11, where he says, do you see with what large letters I'm writing you? You see, Paul's had some sort of issue with his eyes. We don't know what it was. Some people have made more out of it than what they should, and that is my personal opinion, because some people say that his eyesight was his thorn in the flesh. I really don't think so, but some people do. But obviously, the bottom line is this. He had bad eyesight, and so do I, by the way. That's why I use size 18 font in my sermon notes, right? But he had some sort of eye problem. And so writing for him was difficult, but he writes this personally, remember that, personally to Philemon. He said, you see, I'm writing you with my own hand. So why would Paul do that? Well, I believe it's to add emphasis. There's an emphasis here to Philemon that Paul wants him to understand something. So Paul says, I'm coming to you personally. I'm writing this concerning Onesimus, and what I'm writing to you is this. Look what it says. I will repay. Now remember, Onesimus has nothing. Remember, Onesimus has nothing. He's a runaway slave. He's a thief, right? He stole. He stole from Philemon. He was a slave. He stole from him and he ran away, right? So Paul goes, and what he stole, he's already gone through. He's almost like a prodigal son. He's destitute. He has nothing left. He's just gone through it all, right? And now he has nothing, and there's no future for him, and he's got to come back to you. But when he comes back to you, he has absolutely nothing. He has no resources, no ability to pay you back. But don't worry about that, Philemon. I will repay. He says, I will pay you back. Don't hold that against him. Don't be unforgiving, because when he comes back, he's broke. He has spent everything that he took from you. He has nothing that he can offer to repay you. Therefore, I will repay you. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there before? When you had to go before someone and just stand there and say, listen, I'm just coming with my hat in my hand and I'm just apologizing because I don't have any way to make up for what I've done. I'm just standing here before you. I don't have any way to repay you for all of this that I've caused in your life. So all I can do is stand here and say, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Been there? The truth of it is, all of us have been there. That's the truth. All of us have done that. All of us have been in need of somebody to forgive us when we had absolutely no way of making restitution for what we've done. We've all been there. But now watch what Paul says. Paul says, Philemon, he says, I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. That's a weird sentence there, isn't it? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, Philemon, remember, you've got a debt to me. That's what Paul's telling Philemon. He says, I'm going to send this guy back to you. He can't repay you, but I want to remind you something there, Philemon. You owe a debt to me. Look, he's saying it's not just Onesimus. He has a financial and a tangible debt to you. That's true. But listen here, Philemon. He says you've got a spiritual debt and an eternal debt, and you can't repay that, and nobody can repay that for you that you owe me. Paul speaking. It's kind of like the same thing between us and God, right? Now, what Philemon owed Paul was the fact that Paul had shared the gospel with Philemon and had introduced him to Jesus Christ. And of that, he came to Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. just like the person who led you to the Lord. It could be your Sunday school teacher, it could be your pastor, it could be your neighbor, it could be a friend, it could be ever. Anyways, there was an indebtedness there. He came to Jesus Christ because of Paul's message and because of the gospel of Christ. Paul didn't save him, but Paul shared the gospel of Christ to him, which saved him, that Paul shared with him. He said, you owe me that, and you can't repay it. Now, as I think about that, I want to tell you something, folks. We all have people that we cannot repay. We all have people that we cannot repay. At least I know I do. I can tell you right now, as I think back, there are a few people that I owe a debt that I cannot repay. I think back to my teenage years, my rebellious teenage years, the one that the guy knew at Kroger's, right? And a teenage boy who had no family and nowhere to go until a family took me in as their own and gave me a place to live and food to eat, put clothes on my back, and called me their own and gave me love. Let me ask you this question. How do I repay that? Or my wife. I've got a wife I can't repay. If I live 10 more lifetimes, I can never repay this woman for what she's done for me. There are times when this woman not only stood beside me, but she stood behind me. And there have been moments when she stood before me to take slings and arrows that were intended for me that she took herself to protect me. Some of them I don't even know, I'm sure. And I want to tell you something. There ain't no woman like that one I got right there. And that's just the way I feel about it. That for all of my life, for all of eternity, I will be indebted to my wife that has been better to me than I have ever been to her. And that's the truth. Let me ask you a question. How do I repay that? Let me tell you something else. I owe my children a debt of gratitude. I owe them a great debt of gratitude as well. I start to think about what my children had to live through growing up being a pastor's child. They were expected to do what other children were not. They were expected to behave in a way that other children were not. They were always being watched. They were always being tattled on. Well, Yolanda was, let's put it that way. They were expected to be better. It was a requirement for them to be better. They were expected not to embarrass me because I was the pastor, and they were expected to hold their tongues when it came to protecting me if I was being attacked. They were not to voice their opinion. Let me ask, how do I repay that? Also, I owe a lot of laymen, not preachers. Laymen, God has put around me a group of men that I've been able to trust implicitly. Implicitly. A group of men that I can look to and lean on who give me good, solid advice and direction. They don't tell me what I want to hear. They tell me what I need to hear, and I don't like it. But that's what they need to do. And they do it privately without judging me. That I've been able to bounce things off of, that I can be me around. A lot of you don't know me because I have to be pastor. But you know, sometimes I'm Larry, just like you. Are you? Remember, I'm not perfect either. But I could be me around. You know how much I appreciate that? I am thankful for that, that there are a group of men who have stood with me through the years, who have loved me, who have protected me, who have stood in the gap with me when I could not stand alone. And it's just in a couple of weeks where I'm not going to be able to stand, realistically. Who held my arms up when the fight was raging around me and the fight was consuming me. Let me ask you, how do I repay that? You know what else I owe? I owe this church. This church who saw my call to serve the Lord and who trusted God. Right? That took a lot of trust on your all part. Who saw my call to serve the Lord and who trusted God to allow that to happen. A church who allowed me to be their youth pastor and minister to your children, right? And then called me to be your pastor. A church who helped me to go to Liberty University. A church who has been patient with me as I've grown in the Word of God over the last 30 plus years. A church that has loved me. A church that has cared for me through all of my faults. I owe you a debt. Let me ask you, how do I repay that? I owe a man dying of cancer who, when I was in my early 20s, who told me about Jesus the Savior, who invited me to come to this church with him, where I found Jesus as my Lord and Savior in the Christ of my life, who changed my life forever. How do I ever repay that? I understand Paul. I understand what he's saying in that sentence. And above all of that, I owe a debt to God the Father, who sent his Son to this world to die on a cross specifically and totally to pay for my sins, mine. I'm not worried, that I am worried, but you understand, I'm not worried. He died for my sin to pay a debt, as the song said, to pay a debt I could never personally pay. And he said, I'll pay it for you. Let me ask you this. How do I ever repay that? Let me put it a different way. How can I be unforgiving when I owe so many so much? That's what Paul's trying to remind Philemon of. How can I be unforgiving? How can you be unforgiving when I owe so many so much? How can you be unforgiving when you owe so many? And this is exactly what Paul was telling Philemon. He's saying, look, you can remember. You can remember the sin. You can remember the sin of Onesimus against you. But you should remember all that has been done for you. We should remember how gracious and forgiving others have been towards us. Let's be real about that. How forgiving How is it coming to forgiveness towards your family? There's some toes that just got stepped on. How's the forgiveness inside your family? How's forgiveness towards your friends? How's forgiveness to your acquaintances, your coworkers, or whoever it may be? And here's a good one. I haven't even really got into this one. I don't even know if I can get into it. How is your forgiveness towards God? What? God forgave me, yeah. You ever blame God for something? Did you ever shake your fist at God? Why me? Why now? Why did this happen? Why? And then you get this resentment towards God. You know why? Because we don't remember what we owe. How could I repay? How could I ever... There's a deck of cards there. How could I ever repay? How could I ever repay that? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the debt that you owe. Think about the debt that you owe. I did mine personally with you, but I can't do that for you. But think about the debt that you owe, and then compare that to the many people that you owe in your life. And then you think about who you need to forgive. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's a church member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's God. But let me ask you this. How can you be unforgiving when you remember the debt that you owe? Mercy is great. Is that the song? Mercy is great. You want it. And think about the person who needs it from you. Only in Christ can you offer that. Because when you have to offer forgiveness, God didn't deserve to give it to me. He gave me grace. What does that mean? Unmerited favor. Who in your life don't deserve your unmerited favor, but you need to give it? Remember what you owe. Father God, thank you. Thank you for paying a price for me that I could not pay. Thank you for forgiving me while I was still a sinner. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Father, for not throwing it back at my face. Satan wants to do that to me all the time. He wants to do it to every believer. He wants to remind us who we were. Just like the guy in Kroger's. That's Satan. He wants to remind us who we were. But Father God, may we go to you in prayer and in thankfulness. And when Satan does that to us, that we can remind him of who you are and what you've done. And that Satan has no control of our future, but that God has the control of Satan's future. And so, Lord, we ask for your help for us to learn to forgive. Why? Because there's freedom. Just as I came to Christ and bared my sins and he forgave me, I was lifted of a burden that I was carrying, and it was so heavy, and now I've been relieved, and Lord, I have freedom that I can forgive others. So Lord, I pray that you help us. Help us in a way that only you can. And that is through loving us and us loving you, and you will send your blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We all please stand.
Empty-handed. but not forsaken, have been set free, have been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now
song for the ending of that message, and just pray that you all will take these things and home and ponder them with you. Now listen, change of gears, VBS. You think we're ready? Don't say yes. You never know what VBS to bring, but listen, pray for us at VBS. We are excited about it. This is really the first year since COVID that we are in really full swing back, and we're hoping that we get a lot of kids, and more appropriately, that we can reach a lot of kids with the gospel, that we can plant that seed. That's the goal. That's why we do this so big and so much, is for that reason. So be much in prayer for all the teachers and everyone throughout this. VBS, and it's going to be a great event. Also, a couple little other things. Remember the Fisher family, and please remember the Wannett family in your prayers this week, as it's a very difficult time.
You're done.
Okay, and also the security meeting after church has been canceled. And I need help with a conference table. That means young guys. Strong guys.
You'll start a list.
Yeah, start the list. Yeah. All right, go ahead, brother.
I just want to think about VBS. You know, my wife and I were eating park here several weeks ago, and our server, this like 20-some-year-old kid, came up to us, and he looked at me and says, "You play guitar?" I'm like, "Yeah." "How do you know?" He says, "You play guitar in church, right?" I was like, "Yeah." "How do you know?" He says, "Open Door Baptist Church. I remember you." I said, "Oh, really?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "I went to VBS there every year." He says, "I loved it." He says, "You guys are great." You know, and it's like, I'd give a shout out to VBS. It works.
Amen.
It carried through. This kid's 27 years old now, right?
Yeah.
He's still talking about VBS. So
Amen.
Just wanted to leave you guys with that.
Amen. Thing. Same thing with the cashier at Walmart.
Yeah.
And like, she likes, "I know you. You a pastor?" "Yeah." "Well, how do you know me?" And she goes, "VBS."
Yeah.
So cool. Well, listen, may God bring his blessing up on you and your family. May he give you peace, and that his grace will abound to you in unspeakable ways. I love you all. Thank you for coming, and you're dismissed. God bless.
Amazing grace, how sweet.